attrition on the part of those involved, but that's not so. Remember how, in the frantic days before 6th of January, Donald Trump insisted over and over again that Georgia's election was rife with large-scale voter fraud. Remember how he called on Mr. Raffensperger to start the process of decertifying the election and announce the true winner. Only those words aren't from last year. They actually appear in a letter that Donald Trump sent to Mr. Raffensperger just 2 weeks ago. Donald Trump may never stop trying to undermine American democracy. Those who value that democracy should never stop using every measure at their disposal to protect it.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. I hope wherever you are, you're in the best state of health, wealth, and spirituality, blessed with Allah's bounties, and filled with gratitude toward the wonders of life. In the studio with me, as always, I have the honor and privilege of being accompanied by a special guest and a darling sister, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So we were talking about the verses in the Quran that explain the traditions of the ignorant Arab tribes and how they would feed the stillborn calf to their women.
There is another verse in the Noble Quran. Well, that previous verse that we read, it was from chapter 6, verse number 139, where women were considered as secondary citizens. Just for the sake of serving men, sexual desires, just
reproducing,
doing cooking food and cleaning and stuff like that, right? And then there's another verse in chapter Nisa, verse number 19, about objectifying women, where it says that you can see the shameful, barbaric actions of the Arabs of the Jahiliyyah against women, mm-hmm. where the Quran says, "Oh, you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will, and you should not treat them with harshness." that you may take away part of the mahr you have given them, unless they commit open illegal sexual intercourse, and live with them honorably. If you dislike them, it may be that you dislike a thing, and Allah brings through it a great deal of good.
There is so much
in this beautiful verse. Yes. There's a worldview.
Exactly.
It's not just
do's and don'ts.
Yeah, it's not just defending women's rights. It's not just equality. It's positive view to life, optimism, right? If you dislike things, perhaps it is something that it's for your favor. Often, so many things that are going on in our lives, and we become depressed, like the corona, right? I had gone to Mashhad for Ziyara, and I usually don't go inside the shrine, to the very core of it where there's the Zari.
Yeah.
Because it is always loaded with the pilgrims. I think I'm going to just wait outside and say my salam to the imam. I feel better, more connected this way, because I lose my sense of peace of mind when I go to that crowd. One of the good things about the coronavirus was that they have changed the system of visiting, you know, the pilgrimage, and they have put bars. There are like four gates coming to the Zari, to the Shrine of the Masoom, and in all these bars, women and men approach the holy place one by one, and very peacefully.
Yeah,
very in a disciplined
way. Introducing
and
the concept of personal space.
Exactly. And it was the first time in my whole life, throughout the course of my years of living on this planet Earth, that I went for Ziyara for once in my life, and I could actually go near the Zari. So it's like, Asan takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum, right?
Blessing in disguise.
Right. So being introduced to the virtual world and doing things, going to university virtually, doing things, working from home, like distant work, these had been there, but with the advent of the corona, things became so organized. People, especially in third world countries, came to think of these ways
and
options,
utilize these resources
in their practical lives. So the Noble Quran is just trying to say that have a positive approach, right?
Beautiful.
And even if you have a wife that you ended up with,
and you don't necessarily like her, but still
be with her
and don't mistreat her,
appreciate her, and look at her as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So this is the view of the Qur'an.
This is very interesting, because someone once asked Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, my daughter has come of age, what kind of man should I marry her off to? And His Eminence says, give her to a man with taqwa, for if he dislikes her or doesn't love her, he will respect her and not hurt her. And if he loves her, he will appreciate her.
That's beautiful.
Right?
Right.
And it's exactly the embodiment of what the Qur'an is teaching us. That just because she's not the woman of your dreams, and she's not your beauty, and she's not, I don't know, Giselle Bundchen or something, doesn't give you the right to abuse or mistreat her. More of that after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the verses in the Quran that explain the traditions of the ignorant Arab tribes.
You know, Zainab, sometimes people are so not mature, and they have so little experience of the world and the people and of the rules of life, that they think that who they ended up with is not the right case, or I could have been married to someone. I'm not talking about like problematic or challenging situations, I'm talking about normal place people. And then you know, they think that if I had married someone else, I would have ended up being so happy and I would have been like that. But then, even if they go marry someone
else,
they're
going to screw it up.
It's the same story.
Yeah.
So, it's a nice general rule that وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them based on the accepted customs of your time. Honorably. Honor them. Like them, right?
Mm.
So, it's very interesting to know that this is the viewpoint of the Quran. And I want to quote something from the second caliph, Umar bin Khattab, that he's saying that, I swear to God that in the time of ignorance, we did not count women much until Islam came and Allah determined their rights. And from then on, we realized that they have some rights upon us. Prior to the advent of Islam, people, renowned people like the second caliph, they would think that women did not even have any rights upon men. And then, interestingly, there is a beautiful hadith from the noble prophet where he says, my brother Gabriel instructed me and advised me so much about women, about respecting women, that I thought I didn't even have the right to say ah to them.
How? Which version of Islam do idiots such as Daesh and Al-Qaeda and
even ordinary Muslims,
ordinary idiotic Muslims, or those who think that they're allowed to whip their wives, which version of Islam did they receive?
Seriously.
Their prophet,
they take that
exactly.
verse.
Exactly.
And then they say, this is Islam, right?
And then their prophet is like, I think I'm not even allowed to say uf to them.
SubhanAllah. And he's quoting from Jibreel.
Exactly.
Archangel.
What are we doing?
Just one of these ahadith is completely sufficient for a man to know how to treat his wife.
Exactly.
And of course, Zainab John, we have on numerous programs have talked about the rights of men upon women.
Yes.
That even the Quran says that فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ. Of course, these three golden attributes, submissive women, حافظات, you can actually trust them. You can leave everything in their trust. Your children, your wealth, your dignity.
Exactly.
We're talking about
your heart.
Mutual relation. Your heart.
So, and when it comes to even the qanitat part, I don't want to drift too far away from the topic of our discussion, but when you look at within the context of how Allah describes a pious, family-oriented, adhering to the sunnah of Rasulullah sort of man, you think to yourself, well, why shouldn't I submit to him? He's kind, he's generous, he's forgiving, he's understanding, he's compassionate, he's attentive, he's family-loving, he showers me with love and attention. Why wouldn't I submit to him?
I was reading in the Tafsir of Tasneem, which is from Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, regarding the verse number 34 of chapter Nisa, where it says Ar-Rajalu Qawwamuna 'ala An-Nisa, and you know there's a debate like, you know, this salihatun qanitat, you have to be submissive to the qawwam, right? And then it says bima fadhalallahu ba'dahum 'ala ba'd wa bima anfaqu min amwalihim. He says these two reasons have been provided for this ar-rajal qawwam. We're not saying like any kind of man is, you know,
qawwam
of any kind of woman. We're talking about this man that bima faddalallahu ba'dahum ala ba'd. Allah has given him something, a superiority, how to manage, how to know the way to win the heart of his wife, and he provides for her. They have a romantic relationship, you know, right?
Uh-huh.
So naturally, fasalihatu qanitatun hafidat. Why shouldn't women submit to men when it puts the load off their shoulders? You know that you can rely on him, you can trust him. that you're safe with him, you're mentally secure.
Exactly.
When you migrate to another country, you submit to the laws of those countries, even if they are the harshest, hardest laws ever, because you think that within the laws, within that government, it brings you
security.
Mm. The same is with a family.
Beautiful.
Right?
Yep, yep, yep.
Why shouldn't you submit?
Mm.
And especially because I've seen so many women, even women who have feministic trends of thought, even they like to, at the end of the day, have someone whom they can, you know, lean on sometimes.
Yes.
And, you know, who looks up, someone to look up to, and someone who cherishes their beauty.
Beautiful.
And their femininity.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
it's an it's an intrinsic, natural feeling.
Yeah, it is. And it's a beautiful feeling, too, when it's once it's channeled in the proper way. And often I think that by qanitat, he doesn't necessarily mean that every time your husband comes through the door, you stand up and you bow for him and you kiss his hands and you brush his shoes with your shirt. He just means don't stir up drama. You know, he says something, don't necessarily try to oppose him and contradict him every second of the day, like some women do, you know.
True.
Just don't stir up drama. He says something, you're like, okay, cool. If you're not going to die, just do it. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, darling. And thank you to our listeners for being with us. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought. Salam, dear listeners, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace upon him. The worst earner of livelihood is that who deprives others of improving their livelihoods through his earnings. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. Indonesian activists have come up with an idea to convince people to rethink their habits and say no to single-use bags and bottles. Environmentalists have created a museum made entirely from plastic waste in the town of Gresing in East Java. It took them 3 months to collect used plastic items, ranging from bottles and bags to sachets and straws. They were all assembled from polluted rivers and beaches. The centerpiece of this museum is a statue whose skirt is made from single-use sachets of household items. The museum has become a popular location for selfies and has received more than 400 visitors since it opened last month.
I will definitely change my life habits. For example, like when I go to the market or to a grocery store that provides a plastic bag, I will switch to a tote bag. And when I buy a drink, I will use a tumbler.
Environmentalists say their plan behind the exhibition was to send a message about the world's worsening ocean plastic crisis. The plastic problem is particularly acute in Indonesia, a nation that ranks second only behind China for its volume of plastics that end up in the seas.
People around the world celebrate the changing seasons in different ways. In the U.S., an annual pumpkin contest is held to kick off the fall season. Each year, farmers and vegetable enthusiasts from across the U.S. gather in New England for the competition. Anyone bringing the largest homegrown pumpkin gets the prize. This year, a man from Abington, Connecticut, got the prize for his pumpkin weighing more than 2,000 pounds. Alex Noel explains how he worked hard to produce that giant pumpkin.
A nearly unlimited amount of work goes into producing a 2,000-pound-plus pumpkin. I put about 1,000 hours a season into 2 to 3 giant pumpkins, and you're lucky. lucky to even get that many by the end of the year. I'm out there watering, fertilizing, keeping excess water off if it's too rainy, which it was this year. Spraying insecticides, spraying fungicides, pruning, training vines, propping up leaves at the end of the season, putting blankets on when it's cold out, heating cables, fans. I mean, well, this goes on and on.
The New England Giant Pumpkin Way Off began at the Tufts Field Fair in 1984. That year, the winner showcased a pumpkin weighing 196 kilograms. The Way Off has received worldwide recognition, too. Syria's ancient city of Aleppo seems getting a taste of normalcy amid reconstruction efforts and the war-ravaged city. A Syrian historian has also been contributing to make the city regain its lost glory. Ala al-Sayed is working to faithfully restore the lost sections of Aleppo's old city. For that, he is using documents and clippings he himself saved during the early years of the conflict. He says he came up with the idea to digitalize those documents in 2013. Then he embarked on organizing newspapers, books, and pamphlets while scanning each one to add to his digital library. Following the liberation of Aleppo, Ala came back to the city and started renovating historic places which are on the World Heritage List.
The North Dublin suburb of Howth has a new highly efficient firefighting crew. The group has 25 members, but none of them are human.
Howth was targeted by a lot of fire, and so there's a lot of gorse here, and it's prone, it's very flammable. The goats, on the other hand, love gorse, so it's a win-win in that sense. I suppose the project also focuses on the old Irish goat and defining their role as a functional biodiversity crew. They're a hard-working crew. They're up for the job, they're keen to do it. It also instills key conservation grazing principles to tackle fire prevention and habitat management and the control of invasive species. So it's the old Irish ladies that have a job to do here and are well able to do it.
The goats graze eagerly on the ample gorse bushes, which are highly inflammable and cause blazes in hot weather. The local council hopes their deployment will make Howth less susceptible to wildfires. Conservationists also hope that the project will contribute to the survival of the old Irish goats, which almost went extinct in the last century. Each member of the herd has a box around their neck with a built-in GPS device. If the goats stray too far, the gadget will ping and let the owner know.
Five Siberian tiger cubs born in a South Korean zoo have made their first public debut. The cubs were born at Everland Theme Park in Yongin in late June. Their birth brought joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts as they are listed as endangered species. Zookeepers say it's unusual for Siberian tigers to give birth to five babies at once. South Korean people selected the cubs' names through an online vote. Many exotic fruit plants need the tropical climate to grow, but Assyrian is producing nearly 100 types of tropical fruits at his backyard in a coastal city of Tartus. Mohammed Hassan's passion for agriculture is to the extent that he left his job in media to build a farm. He managed to create a tropical environment at his compound, and that was the reason behind his success in growing fruits that are rare in many parts of the world. In fact, he has turned his farm into what he likes to be described as a tropical cave.
I came across the world of tropical fruits as some of them existed here. Many immigrants also helped me on this path. They bought me special varieties from India, South America, the Caribbean and other countries, even China. Currently, we grow 93 types of fruits.
Hassan's success has encouraged other Tartus residents to create their own farms. The government is also assisting Hassan with his unique business. His farm is now open to tourists and visitors where they can taste the products. Hassan says he has bigger plans for the future and is thinking about using his tropical environment to raise and breed rainforest animals. In Brazil, paleontologists have discovered the fossilized remains of a dinosaur that lived roughly 70 million years ago.
It's a bipedal dinosaur with short arms, around 5 meters long, and it was at the top of the food chain in the period in which it lived. It was the predator at the time.
Paleontologists say the fossil suggests a dinosaur species known as Kuruki itata was a meat eater. They found the ancient predator's remains at one of Brazil's richest sites for dinosaur findings in the city of Sao Paulo. The first piece of Kurupi Itata's fossil was unearthed during an excavation work in 2002. Until the completion of the research, a model of this species would be on display at Monte Alto's Museum of Paleontology. Experts believe the discovery would help scientists better understand paleontology on Brazilian lands. Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovo artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkant Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajago was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajago holds 2 Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. A French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. 2 pumas, 2 jaguars, 9 Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer, macaque twins are new additions to Lemmingley Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots, and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balala is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chitka, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains have been discovered in Chitka in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. The topic of today's special is about the importance of Hijrah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. Today, Wednesday, is the 29th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is a good time to listen to a short part of the Holy Quran, verse 74 of chapter Anfal.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. والذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم.
But those who have believed and emigrated and fought in the cause of Allah, and those who gave shelter and aided, it is they who are the believers, truly. For them is forgiveness and noble provision.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Allah refers to the immigrants and the helpers, Muhajirin and Ansar, and admires them. The verse says, "And as for those who believed and migrated and strove in the way of Allah, and those who gave shelter and help, those are the believers." The evidence of this statement is that they both immigrated and helped the Muslims and separated from their relatives, and also by spending their properties for the sake of the religion of Allah, they prove their true faith.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan.
Why did the Prophet migrate? The standard answer is that the migration occurred to escape persecution from Mecca and save the Prophet's life from an evil assassination plot. But there is another reason, one that derives an important lesson about Hijrah. Staying in Mecca with the persecution from Mecca, people was unproductive for the Prophet because the environment was not conducive for the message which he carried, Islam. The Prophet had to find a way out. He had to find a venue for his message to flourish. In essence, the migration was not about saving his life, but it was about saying the message and fulfilling his mission. The evidence of this is immediately after reaching Medina. The Prophet didn't relax, but immediately went through an all-embracing process to establish a faithful and strong society. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin Astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the emigration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, we find that those Meccans, who believed, they knew well that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of Mecca. He was from Mecca. He was born in Mecca. Mecca was his hometown. Yet the Meccan pagans and infidels waged wars against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and we find that this kind of military opposition against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them started from the moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. Now we find that. There are many Quranic verses that signify that Muslims were allowed to defend themselves, and in order to defend themselves in the Medinan phase of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, they were permitted to get engaged in military defense. In the Holy Quran, there's a verse in that it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Permission has given to those people who are believers in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are allowed to get engaged in military defense. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. And certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty to help them.
أَنْتَ نُورُ اللَّهِ فَجْرًا جِئْتَ بَعْدَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا ربنا أعلاك قدرًا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا
In some episodes of today's special, we review some lessons from Hijra of the Prophet. Today, this is our timeless lesson. With difficulty comes ease. The Prophet had suffered for so long. It was 13 years of almost torture, and it was only now that he was about to be finally coming out of the pain that the Meccans had given him. But little did he know that Allah had planned so much. All that pain was one thing, but what was coming was better. And with the difficulty he had faced, now he was about to open up to a new land. He was going to be the master of Medina, the Prophet who sent letters to various heads of the state to accept Islam, and with all of his finally shall come to the victory of Mecca, and the promise of Allah stands true. With difficulty comes ease.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The Hijra of the Messenger of Allah from Mecca to Medina. A large number of the Muslims escaped Mecca for Medina. This exodus continued until except for the Prophet and Ali, peace be upon them, and several elderly persons, no one remained in Mecca. The noble messenger of Allah, received a further order from Allah to leave for Medina and to join his supporters. He realized, however, that because of the merciless officials of the idol-worshipping government, it could be difficult to escape without risking his life. As for Abu Sufyan, Abu Lahab, and other notables amongst the Quraysh, he ordered the Prophet's house be surrendered and that he himself should be killed. Prophet Muhammad was warned of the evil plan of the idol worshippers, and he realized that the sooner he left for Medina, the better. The noble messenger thus had Ali sleep on his bed and said to him, "Allah has instructed that your life be sacrificed for the sake of Islam." Ali, peace be upon him, the true and lawful deputy and heir of the noble messenger, lay down to sleep on the latter's bed. Before the armed men of Abu Sufyan, he encircled the Prophet's house. The Prophet escaped. Before the armed men of Abu Sufyan had encircled the Prophet's house, the Prophet escaped out of another door under the cover of darkness. Sayyid Saleh al-Qazwini.
Rasulullah was in the cave, then Amir al-Mu'minin came out of the house. Because they don't want to kill Amir al-Mu'minin, even though they had the hatred for Amir al-Mu'minin. But if they kill Amir al-Mu'minin, they're going to cause themselves a problem with Bani Hashim, and they're not going to get Rasulullah. So they didn't kill Amir al-Mu'minin. The hadith says that Amir al-Mu'minin, he went to the cave. He went to the cave and he saw Rasulullah. And there, at the cave with Rasulullah, Rasulullah told him, "Oh Ali, I want you to prepare two camels, one for Rasulullah and one for Abu Bakr, so that we can escape from Mecca." So Abu Bakr, he tells Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, I have prepared the camels. I have the two camels, they're ready." So Rasulullah tells him, "I will not use the camels unless I buy the camels. With my own money, I buy them." So then Abu Bakr, he says, "Okay, I'll sell them to you." So then Rasulullah, he tells Amir al-Mu'min, "Give him the money." He gives him the money, and Rasulullah, he pays for the camels. He wants the hijrah to be on his own, with his own money. And he does not want to use the money that belongs to anyone else, so he tells him, "Pay him the money." And then he tells Amir al-Mu'mineen, "Oh Ali, I want you to return to Mecca and return all of the trust that people have entrusted me with." Because Rasulullah, even the ones who did not believe in him, they saw him as as-sadiq al-amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. So therefore, they trusted him with their money, but they didn't believe in him. And this was because of their arrogance. This was because of their takabbur. They knew that he was a prophet of Allah, but they refused because they don't want to inconvenience themselves. They don't want to change their lifestyle. And change is always difficult, even though they knew that they need to change. And this is a lesson for us, my dear brothers and sisters. Sometimes in our communities, in the way that we live our lives, we know that we need to make a change, but we're not comfortable making that change. You tell them why, they say, "Oh, because this is the way it's always been done. This is the way the community has always been doing it." This talk is nonsense. If there is haq, we have to go with the haq and be willing to make that change, even though it's difficult, even though it might be a struggle for some, but we have to be willing to do that.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
And hearts frozen from you, Allah, came a prophet chosen. Less prophets, Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.